This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives. This week we head back to St Magnus to talk to the people who use its tower. They are the ringers, and they bring the church to life through their expert skills at handling very heavy church bells. I met Master Ringer, Henry Coggill, at the foot of the tower. The tower, by the way, effectively stands above and over the entrance porch and just outside of the church. I was surprised that to access the tower, I had to go through a tiny wooden door that was embedded in one of the porch pillars, and that led to a long, winding stone staircase, which went up to the ringing chamber. In the chamber, I saw a circle of ropes hanging from the ceiling, dangling over small circular carpets. This reminded me a little bit of a gallows, but also a little bit of the time-travelling booth from the old Star Trek series. Well, as well as Henry, I also heard from two of the regular and elite ringers, Ryan and Swaz, before their regular weekly practice. If you hear a heavy sound of traffic throughout the podcast, that's because the church sits alongside a rather busy road. And because the sound travels up, it's easily heard through the walls of the tower.
So I'm a member of the Ancient Society of College Youths. And this year I'm the ringing master, so I'm sort of take care of the day-to-day ringing activities.
Can you tell me what is the Ancient Society of College Youths?
Yeah, it sounds a bit strange, but essentially it was a group of ringers who got together back in the day. So the society was founded in 1637 and has been operating more or less continuously ever since as one of the main societies in London.
Essentially you ring bells in churches.
Yeah, so we ring bells in churches. We're not affiliated to any one particular to church, but we tend to ring it to selection of churches. So we ring here at St Magnus the Martyr, at St Mary Le Bow, the famous Bow Bells, yeah. St Giles Cripplegate, St Michael's Cornhill, St Paul's Cathedral sometimes, Southwark Cathedral sometimes, and St Sepulchre without Newgate.
So just quickly going back to the name, how on earth did that name come about? Do you know?
Basically, there was a schism between the older generation and the younger generation, but then they sort of got back together again after a while and patched up their differences and decided to ring as one again.
But it is quite ancient.
The society now is old, yes.
How would I join the society if I wanted to? It sounds very untouchable to me.
Essentially, you have to be a ringer. This is a bit of a sort of elite society. We don't really teach people how to ring. We tend to ring on difficult bells in London. So normally, I think most people would learn where they grew up, and then if they get to a certain stage and they can ring difficult things, then someone will say, oh yes, so he should join or she should join.
Right. Now, what got you into bell ringing?
It sounded like something different, something that was unusual, and that's why I like the sound of it.
Did you have a local church to where you lived and you thought, I'll just try my hand at it there? And
so I started when I was 12 or 13 in my local church. We had little five bells. But I discovered that it's a physical thing, it's also sort of mental. You've got to keep. I haven't showed you the patterns that we ring yet,
yeah.
But they're sort of mathematical. There's aspects of maintaining the bells, and you know, you've got to oil them and tighten them up and things.
Yeah.
Once you've done it for a while, you get to know the people who you ring with, and they become your friends. So part of the fact that the same sort of people come to the Tuesday night practice is, you know, A, they want to ring, they want to keep their hand in, keep their eye in, but they want to see their mates as well and just keep up to date with what's going on.
So this is a sociable
So
activity,
it's definitely sociable,
really?
Yes. We ring first, once we finish ringing, then we go to the pub and chat about things. So there's aspects of both.
Okay, we're going to spend a little bit of steam, George.
I was asking Henry earlier on about what leads people to want to do this activity, which seems rather niche, and what drove both of you to this
think people come from all sorts of different routes, but for me, I started learning to ring because I didn't really want to go to church.
Right.
But my family were very big churchgoers, so I ended up getting involved with the bell ringers, and they're a great social lot, so I stuck in with that, and it's just continued.
What a cunning manoeuvre.
Yeah.
they would never know that you're avoiding church. So you spent your time in the tower instead.
Yeah, basically.
And may I ask you what drove you to do
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I joined a school society that taught people the basics of bell ringing, and because I was really interested, I then went to my local church, and like Ryan said, you get absolutely hooked on it. I've been doing it since I was 13, so that's a very long time ago now.
Interesting, they taught it at school.
One of the older girls was a bell ringer, and she asked if she could form a society.
Right.
And
you said you've been hooked on it ever since.
Yeah.
What is it that's got you hooked on it?
I think it's physical, mental and social, and I really like it because, as you can see, it spans most generations and people from all walks of life. So you've got a group of very varied people and you can make some fantastic friends. And the intergeneration thing is absolutely amazing. Yeah, it's something I could never imagine stopping unless I physically couldn't, but I'd probably still go to the pub and see everyone.
Quite know what to do with that piece of information. Oh, right.
What makes these bells difficult?
Well, to start with, ringing on 12 is generally is quite a difficult thing. Most churches have 5, 6, or 8 bells. If you're ringing one bell, you've only got to worry about 4 other bells. So you can sort of get your head around that. But then 12 is much harder because they ring closer together and there's a lot going on.
So with that in mind, you choose a bell.
That's a Sanctus bell.
Right. So there are 12 bells here.
Mm.
Each bell has its own note.
Yes, they form a regular scale as you find on a piano or a musical instrument.
And so it's key as to who rings which bell at a certain time, or not? Is it just a free-for-all?
Oh, no, not at all. As you might expect, there are rules and regulations. So, obviously, they go round from the smallest bell is the treble, this one.
Yeah.
And the biggest bell is called the tenor, for some reason. So the smallest one is about maybe 100, 150 kilograms, and the biggest one is nearly a ton and a half. So obviously, the bigger the bell, the deeper the note.
They sound enormous or heavy to me, and they're hanging, I assume, above this wooden ceiling above
yes.
us.
We can go and have a look at
Oh, great. Okay. Wow, it's a great view from here. Wow.
Okay, so
this is incredible.
Can you explain the
mechanics of it, actually?
So obviously this is the bell itself.
Yeah.
Now, it's maintained, it's supported by this headstock, which is essentially a metal beam.
Yeah.
And there's some bolts through the headstock, which attach it to the bell.
Yeah, got it.
And then the headstock is connected to the frame with this big bearing here. So this is one of the reasons it makes it easy to ring, because these are ball bearings. Whereas in the olden days, they used to have to oil them with tallow or something, or animal fat, and it was just horrible. And
so right.
The frame itself is nice and sturdy. It's made of steel.
Yeah.
So that doesn't move much. That makes it easy. And the other important bits are this wooden wheel, which is attached also to the headstock. So that moves in sync with the bell. So when you pull the wheel, that pulls the headstock and the bell. They all move together. And obviously the rope is attached to the wheel, and it goes all the way around the wheel. And the other important bit is the clapper, which is attached to the bottom of the bell. And that obviously pivots. So when you pull the bell over, the bell swings and then the clapper swings and they bash into each other and make a very big noise. So one of the things about the English church bells with having them upright like this is that when the bell strikes, it's sort of sounding upwards, so all the sound can escape.
As I look around the bells that fill this space, the biggest one looks like it's in the middle.
That's one of the challenges of the bell hanger, is to make sure that fit the bells in, but also make the circle down below a nice, neat circle.
Yeah.
So they've done a good job here, making sure that whatever happens, the ropes will go around in the circle.
I dread to think how on earth they get these things up here. I mean,
there's normally a trapdoor in the middle of the floor, so you open the trapdoors and then winch them up.
Cripes, because they're very tightly packed. They're neatly packed in here.
Yes, they are tightly packed in.
Bells are hanging in all sorts of public buildings, like the most famous one, I suppose, being Big Ben.
There's a separation, though, between the bells that here we ring in the sort of English style of church bell ringing, where we would do what's called full circle ringing. So Big Ben is a clock bell, and it just hangs there, and you bash it with a hammer. It doesn't move. But with the bells that we ring, we sort of swing the bell, like, right rounds in a 360-degree circle, much like...
So they ring themselves in that respect.
You have to guide it into the right place. So the difficulty is, if it's ton and a half, you can't pull it exactly when you want it to. You need to sort of coax it into the right place, and that's sort of the art of getting it right.
Yeah, and that sounds like the kind of thing where you have to be really in harmony with the bell. You have to know how it feels and when to to pull and how hard to pull. I guess I don't know.
Very much so, yes. And as you'll see later, when different people ring, different people have different styles.
These bells seem to have been cast in Whitechapel.
Yes, that's right. These bells were cast about 10 years ago, because the original bells were lost after the war. They weren't actually bombed, but they were taken out and then sold off, I think.
Yeah.
And Dick and Love got a project going to restore the bells, basically buy new ones. So he went to the Whitechapel Bell Foundry, because it's very close by, and they cast the bells. Now, a couple of years ago, the chap in charge of the Whitechapel Bell Foundry, Alan Hughes, he retired. It's been a family business for a while. He had no family members to take it on, so he was forced to sell the business.
Do you notice the difference between the different manufacturers?
Absolutely, yes. And that's part of the appeal. I mean, one of the nice things about the College Jews is that we do circle around the different towers, so we get a nice variety. But for the last 150 years, there's been essentially only two manufacturers. So one foundry, the Whitechapel Bell Foundry, and the other manufacturer was Taylor's in Loughborough.
Yeah.
And you can very much tell the difference between them. Some people are ardent supporters of one versus the other.
What do the Whitechapel bells feel like for you when you're...
Well,
it's
slightly different, because the feel of the bells is completely unrelated to the sound of the bells.
Right.
So the feel of the bells depends on two things, mainly how modern and up-to-date the fittings are. The second factor is the tower. Now, as you notice, we climbed a long way up.
Yeah.
And there's 3 tons of bell metal swinging around at the top of this tower that was built by Wren.
Yeah.
You'll notice that it does wobble, and when the tower wobbles, that makes the bells behave very unpredictably.
For you, what do these ones sound like compared to the ones from Loughborough, for example?
They're a different harmonic profile. The shape of the bell, the thickness of the metal at different points has a very important effect on the sound.
It's a real science.
It's a science. It's also an art.
How
often do you guys practice?
Well, this Tuesday is the Ancient Society of College Jews regular practice, so we do every Tuesday.
Do you have to fight for a practice session? As in, there are 12 bells here, but there must be more people in the college.
Oh yeah, but we just do short bursts. You'll see as we do it.
Do you guys battle for a particular bell?
Not really. I mean, the master, Henry, will place us on a particular bell, so it's all done quite fairly through the night.
Yeah.
And do you have favourite bells?
Yes.
Some people do, This town moves around quite a bit, so some of the bells are much harder than the others, so some people like an easy ride and some people don't.
So which would you say is the hardest bell of this 12-peel?
Well, lots of people would say that the biggest bell is the hardest, but I don't think that's necessarily the case here. There's around the 9th and the 10th bells. I'm not sure quite how heavy they are, but the tower moves quite a lot around there. It's just this corner is, I don't know if it's because it's weak or because the tower downstairs, it's actually on stilts. So it does move about a bit. So like just a few millimetres of movement actually really affects a bell, and it can make it hard to ring, or in some cases it could make it easier for some other people.
Yeah. You all ring in the City of London. Is this the place to ring church bells?
Well, it's the Ancient Society of College Jews base.
Right.
I mean, we've got members across the world, but London is our sort of base, and we ring in the city towers. And
but if I was a bell ringer in Herefordshire, and I really love bell ringing, would it be a goal of mine to end up being a member of the Ancient Society of College Youth?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Yes, yes. Definitely.
So this is a prestigious society.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it's very much, it's the height of ringing.
Yeah.
Did you audition to be a member?
You have to be proposed in second, and if people don't think you're up to it, you won't be. And it's voted on at a meeting.
Is it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, very serious.
Yeah.
So this, I'm expecting great things. I'll be listening in. I think you'll be starting in a minute. I don't want to hold anyone back.
When we get 12, we
will. Yeah, there's not quite...
I might have to step in.
Yeah.
Yo, definitely.
Everyone ready? Let's take the trucks going.